Hey, what up, Long Beach? Welcome back to your home for everything local sports here at the562.org in our weekly podcast called What Up, Long Beach. As always, I am JJ Fiddler, and across the table...
On the right mic.
On the correct mic.
It's the right mic, Mike Gardabasio. Yes, that's right. What up, Long Beach? It's the name of the podcast. It's also the catchphrase. It's very convenient one-stop verbiage shopping. We will be coming to you every Wednesday morning. You're going to be able to listen, subscribe on iTunes, check us out on Podbean, anywhere else you get your podcasts. Make sure and subscribe and rate us 5 stars.
We're down on the Peni today. The peninsula here in Belmont Shore in Long Beach. A B-E-A beautiful day in the city. No surprise, obviously.
I just went for a little run. I got the blood flowing. I'm ready for this knockdown, drag-out conversation.
We are going to get to the Mount Rushmore of Long Beach that we started talking about last week. Threw it out there to the peeps on social media, and they responded, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
So we're ready to go.
We got a lot to talk about, for sure.
We are ready to go, but we also are celebrating the release of our spring previews. Baseball preview out today. You would have known about the baseball preview if you were subscribed at the562.org and received our daily newsletter.
Make sure and go do that. Go to the562.org, click subscribe, and sign up for a small monthly donation that'll help us keep Long Beach sports coverage alive. As JJ mentioned, you will get a daily newsletter in your email inbox. It's like, imagine it's 1960 and newspapers are still a viable industry. And the newspaper with the sports section lands on your doorstep. It's just like that, except computers.
You get your tintype taken, but in a different way. Look, everything we do for Long Beach and Long Beach sports, but we got to pay the bills first. We got to take care of that stuff.
We got to build a website out. We got to be able to hire some more photographers.
More equipment. More people to cover games. Are we not covering enough games? That can be solved. We can get out to everything if we are supported by everyone. And it doesn't take that much.
Well, and as JJ mentioned, the coverage is up right now. You can go to the562.org and see our baseball previews. Every single More League team has their own article. That's the way we will be doing things in the future.
And not just that.
We're still around to do it.
All sports. You want gymnastics?
Softball.
You want boys volleyball?
Is up there. Boys volleyball is up there.
Tennis coming later this week.
JJ did a golf preview. I've got track and swimming.
Come on, guys.
Possibly our best two spring sports.
Get
will be coming up later this week.
To the562.org right now. And subscribe to help support Long Beach sports.
It's all about you and you and you and you at the 562.
Oh, the biggest college basketball games are coming up this weekend. Final Four in San Antonio. There's only one way to watch it at home, though. That's with a hog pack in your face. Naples Rib Company hog pack. Perfect for having people over for the game. Naples Rib Company, a sponsor of everything at the562.org, including this show and the highlight videos. But we could not even do the highlight videos without Naples Rib, Mike. It fuels us.
They've sponsored everything we've done for the last 8 years. We're hoping to continue that for a long time. Please go down there and mention that the 562 sent you. I'm going to be watching Final Four on the women's side to see Long Beach Poly alum Erica Carter. I know I'm going to want a hog pack for that game on Friday. So I'm definitely going to go down to Naples Rib Company and swoop one of those up.
Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt for
Roosevelt?
Some reason. I don't know. The Mount Rushmore of the United States. We are going to do the Mount Rushmore of Long Beach sports. Now, obviously, we could go deep into the weeds on this thing.
I'm already there.
Coaches.
I've got
football,
weeds up to my
basketball.
Armpits.
We could do for schools a Wilson Mount Rushmore, a Poly Mount Rushmore, Long Beach State Mount Rushmore. But we're going to start with the four athletes that we feel represent the city of Long Beach best. But it's already begun on social media. Like I said, Facebook and Twitter has blown up with people throwing their nominations.
We got about 200 responses on Twitter. I want to talk briefly about what you just said.
Criterium.
We're going to do all those.
Criterium?
After seeing this conversation, we're going to do all of those. We're going to do a Long Beach Poly one, a Long Beach State one, a coaching one. Maybe even we'll get into sports. Like we'll do a Long Beach State basketball one. We'll do
love
a Long
that.
Beach State volleyball, Long Beach Poly football, Poly track.
Long Beach Poly
Wilson
football
Aquatics.
Might take us a whole month. We're going to have to do that one in the summer so we got time.
So we're really excited to do all those. We want to start with the one that you would really maybe carve faces into the south side of Signal Hill to enshrine. So JJ, no coaches,
no.
But across all sports, across all disciplines, four athletes to be recognized for their total accomplishment in the city of Long Beach, outside of the city of Long Beach, on the professional level, on the international level, top four athletes.
I'm talking athletic influence. Those are the two words that keep going through my head. Athletic influence. Who has had the most athletic influence in the city of Long Beach? That's where my criteria is. Can I also say, I'm working on it right now, to get the laser gun from Richie Rich.
Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin movie.
Okay.
So that we can just laser these faces into the side of Signal Hill.
You're such an 80s kid.
It's a solid reference.
It's a great reference. I probably lean... So criteria is important. I'm glad you brought it up. JJ and I have sat on a number of different awards committees, whether that was for the CIF, for the Lakewood Youth Hall of Fame, for the Century Club and its Hall of Fame. Everyone always has their own criteria. And I think the best conversations come out of everyone acknowledging that. And then you try and bring everyone as close together as possible. Now, I lean a little heavier on athletic accomplishment than influence than you probably do. But I think that's a really good 1A, 1B for us to both consider in one order or another.
Right. It's not a shut up and dribble list.
Right. Well, and I would also say this. I think with any good list, you want to be representative, but you also don't want to be sort of changed to that representation. So I think in a lot of lists that I saw people suggest, there's no poly football player. Now, you would absolutely say the poly football team is the team in Long Beach, right? 19 CIF championships, more than anyone else, over 60 players in the NFL, more than any other high school in the country. That's the only game that we routinely show up to and expect to see 5,000 to 10,000 people at, poly football games.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean you sit down and go, well, we have to have a poly football player, right? That's not necessarily the way to construct a list like this.
It's the MVP situation.
Yes.
Are you doing the most valuable player or are you doing the best player? Does he have to be on the best team? All of these criteria, absolutely. And like you said, Mike, you can't get everyone working on the same list, but hopefully you get them on the same page.
I said this last week. I always say this on the really difficult lists to figure out. There are no right answers and there are about a million wrong answers. So I think the best thing we can do is explain our reasoning and get to a point where agree or disagree, people can sort of make up their own mind on where they'd go and let us know if you think you got it wrong. I think maybe if JJ and I end up being different, we actually haven't seen each other's lists. So we're going to get into this together. If our lists end up being different, I think we're going to put them up with a poll. Do we talk about doing that on Twitter?
I think that's a good idea. Hey, man, this website, like we said, the562.org, by Long Beach, for Long Beach. You want to decide what your Mount Rushmore is? That's what we're doing.
And I don't know, like, if enough of you subscribe, maybe we will get the Richie Rich laser.
We'll get Gutzon Borglum's great-grandson out here to put that thing together.
Kennedy, Lincoln, Clinton, Borglum.
All right, let's get into this thing.
Okay.
I think at the top of the list, with a bullet, again.
Now, there's no order, but we are going to go in order.
Athletic influence.
Yeah.
Billie Jean King.
I don't think there's a better athlete that is a combination of representative of the city in Long Beach.
Yes.
Athletic accomplishment, like I talked about, and athletic influence, like you talked about, than Billie Jean King.
It's a slam dunk for me. Born in Long Beach in 1943. Number one player in the world. Not a lot of those that go around. 39 Grand Slam titles. 12 singles, 16 women's doubles, and in just the perfect Billie Jean King way, 11 mixed doubles as well.
She was also a trailblazer twice, which is why she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom, which is not hanging around the necks of many Long Beach athletes.
Nope.
Billie Jean King, a trailblazer, obviously, for women and women's rights with the very famous Battle of the Sexes match against Bobby Riggs, which, by the way, I recently found out because that movie came out, is still like the most watched non-moon landing, non-Super Bowl ever.
Isn't that crazy?
In the history of the country and television.
I would have guessed so many other events before that.
My mom told me this too when I had a chance to interview Billie Jean when we were at the Press Telegram. My mom told me, she said, I don't think there's a way for you to understand how big of a deal that match was. Because my mom was at the age where that match was a huge deal.
It's hard to wrap your mind around how big a deal Billie Jean King is. Elton John writes songs about this woman, Mike.
So Billie Jean King, she's number one for me and for you.
Absolutely. With a bullet.
I think the other one you mentioned last week, I just don't think there's any real arguing with, is Tony Gwynn.
Best to ever do it, dude. Best to ever do it.
I mean, you talk about, look, here, the thing that's crazy about Long Beach is you've got somewhere between 8 and 10 people who are the best in the history of their sport.
Mm-hmm.
Or their discipline if it's within track or swimming or something.
We wouldn't be doing this if it were easy, Mike.
But baseball is baseball, right? If you're the best ever at an aspect of baseball, basketball, or football, that's obviously going to carry a little bit of weight because so many more people do it. So the list that you're number one on is a much longer list than if you're the best handball player ever, which we do happen to have hailing from Long Beach in David Chapman.
Tony Gwynn, the late, great Tony Gwynn, born in 1960, died in 2014, which feels like yesterday, but that's like kind of a long time ago now that I think about it. So sad, the age of 54. Kids, do not chew tobacco. 20 seasons with the San Diego Padres. A Hall of Fame induction in 2011. Recorded 8 batting titles, but I think what people forget, 15-time All-Star, 5 gold gloves for Tony Gwynn, Mike. People don't talk about that. 7-time Silver Slugger, and like as we're talking about, influence, also won the Roberto Clemente Award. So not just doing it on the field, but doing it in the community. He moved from L.A. to Long Beach. His family moved from L.A. to Long Beach strictly for sports.
Oh, yeah.
Which I feel like is such a Long Beach story, too.
West Side Kid. I think the other thing about Tony Gwynn that people also don't talk about enough is he was also a star basketball player at Poly and actually went to San Diego State as a basketball player / baseball player. I believe still holds the assist record at San Diego State. And another thing people don't mention, he was drafted by the Clippers.
Mike, those Poly...
He could have been an NBA basketball player if he wanted, and he just picked baseball.
Those Poly basketball teams were lit, dude. He played in front of like 10,000 people in Long Beach Sports Arena as a senior, I believe, in one of those CIF championships that he led them to. Baseball team, not as fresh back then. But that's really funny that he would end up being... Also, not an accident, 2 names, 2 Poly Jackrabbits.
So, well, the other thing, I'd mention a few more things about Tony Gwynn. First ballot Hall of Famer. With 97.6% of the vote. That's pretty rare air up there. Yep. The other thing is, the Poly baseball team, now you mentioned you played, we mentioned you played basketball. The basketball team's won 20 CIF championships, most ever. The baseball team at Poly, everyone talks about how many NFL guys have come out of the Poly football team. Poly baseball team has produced 23 Major League Baseball players, which is actually the most of any high school in the country. So Poly actually has produced the most NFL players and the most Major League Baseball players. So he is representing a really important part of the city's history as well as a Poly baseball player.
I want to figure out a way to see if the Moore League has more than any other league. I think it's got
to be. Oh, I don't think there's any. I think because Poly, Lakewood, Wilson, Milliken, I believe are 4 of the top 10 in the state. And I believe Poly, Lakewood, Wilson are 3 of the top 10 in the country. I don't think there's any question
that it's the most.
Yeah.
How we find that out, I have no idea, but I would be shocked.
We'll just say it's the most ever.
And wait until somebody proves us wrong?
Yeah, we'll do the historian trick. We'll say it's the most ever, and if someone proves us wrong, we'll issue a correction. One other thing I wanted to say about Billie Jean King, because she mentioned this when I had a chance to interview her. It's really a shame that Title IX did not happen until 1974, and that athletes like Billie Jean King did not have a chance to compete in the city of Long Beach. Because she told me she would have loved to have played tennis at Poly, but she wasn't allowed on the tennis team. You know, I mean, that's really, like, just unbelievable. She would have been better than the boys on the tennis team anyway, but she just had to take, like, general PE at Poly because they didn't give her credit for winning Wimbledon.
Crazy, man.
So as we look around at how many amazing female athletes there are coming out of Long Beach, I'm so happy that times have changed and that athletes like Billie Jean King or Susie Atwood, who did the same thing. I believe she actually, like, failed her sophomore year PE at Milliken because she missed so much class for competing in the Olympics.
at a ripe young age,
too. While she was a 10th grader at Milliken.
Incredible.
You know?
Incredible stuff. This city is full of stories like that. And that's what makes this thing so hard, right? You look at baseball. Can you fit more than one baseball player on this list? I don't think so. You have to have Gwynn on there.
Well, yeah, I would put... So the two to me that are the hardest are Tony Gwynn and Bob Lemon. Bob Lemon also in Cooperstown.
Okay, Bob Lemon, Wilson alum, State Player of the Year. 1938. So we're talking also about a different game. Baseball fans and sabermetrics nerds would be like, dead ball era, live ball era, guys. Come on.
Absolutely. But Bob Lemon, 7-time All-Star every year from 1948 to 1954, 2-time World Series champion, a 3-time AL wins leader, and the AL strikeout leader in 1950. He also pitched a no-hitter for the Indians on June 30th, 1948. His number's been retired by the Indians.
He's played almost every position, too.
Yes.
He was not just a pitcher. He played all the positions.
And went on to a successful managing career as well.
And managed 3 teams, including the New York Yankees. But speaking of percentage of Hall of Fame as well, 78% of the vote for Lemon.
Bob Lemon, another guy, to me, you start with those Hall of Fame. Those are the top level, those big 3 sports. If you're in the Hall of Fame, that's something special. We don't have any NFL or NBA Hall of Famers or basketball Hall of Famers as players. We don't have that.
Terrell Davis doesn't count. I saw a few people on Facebook drop Terrell Davis's name. Played football at Long Beach State for about 4 months.
So on mine personally, it's exactly the problem you just said. If they hadn't ended the program, if George Allen hadn't died, essentially, and he'd been able to finish his career at Long Beach State.
Still one season in the city gets you on this list?
But to me, it doesn't. I really.
I'm not going to say that it keeps you off, but I'm also not going
just,
to say
it's
that
just, it's a gets criteria. You on. Exactly. Yeah. It's a criteria. Yeah. I mean, I just don't think if you compare some of the other football players, I think we'd talk about, you just wouldn't put him next to a Willie McGinnis or, you know, I mean, really, we could name another. For me, he wouldn't even be my number one guy off Long Beach State, even though he did go on to, because he was not like the program.
Right.
He happened to be there when it ended. And I think he'd agree with that, too. He's much more attached to the state of Georgia and the college football he played there than he is to Long Beach State.
Well, speaking of Long Beach State, and speaking of not being from here, but coming in here and doing something in the city, and then maybe staying for a while, becoming the daughter of Long Beach, Misty Mae Traynor.
Yeah.
Born in Los Angeles, 1977, attended Long Beach State, then went on to become the GOAT in the sport. Maybe the best beach volleyball duo of all time with Kerry Walsh Jennings and Misty Mae Traynor.
Oh, no maybe on that. I mean, I think the only maybe for Misty is Kerry Walsh the best beach volleyball player? But I would take Misty personally because she was successful before working with Kerry.
They had three incredible gold medal runs, and have recorded 112 individual championship wins.
They didn't lose a set in the gold medal runs.
Incredible, man.
But they also were unbeaten on the AVP for, was it 3 years?
Speaking of unbeaten, I think that Misty Mae legend status was built in 1998 at Long Beach State. The first undefeated season for a championship team in NCAA women's volleyball. And that team itself was a storyline.
Absolutely. She was also, I mean, there's so many things about that. It's not just that one team, but she was an All-American, you know, at Long Beach State year after year. She won the Honda Cup. And for those of you that don't know what the Honda Cup is, that's an award that at that time was given to the top female athlete in the NCAA across all sports. And that went to Misty Mae Traynor. So to me, those kinds of things help you distinguish when you're looking at everyone here is a legend. Everyone's a Hall of Famer. Everyone we're going to bring up could be on this thing and you'd feel pretty good about it. But Misty, to me, I mean, she's arguably, if she'd chosen to focus on indoor, she could have gone on and been the best indoor player ever as a setter. She chose to focus on beach and became either the best or second best beach player ever as part of the best duo ever with an unprecedented and still, because Kerry Walsh couldn't win a gold without her. It hasn't been replicated or bettered. 3 gold medals for Misty. So, I think that one as well is really difficult. It also is representative of Long Beach State.
It's also representative of the Olympics. Now, I think there's a lot of other Olympians. You mentioned a couple earlier who, if you're not looking at the amount of media spent on a sport or an event or a time, let's say Misty had played earlier or later or whatever, it would have been different. Let's say Pat McCormick dives in 2000. Do you know what I'm saying?
I 100% know what you're saying. And so actually, so let's tie a little bow on that. We've got right now our three. We've got Tony Gwynn, Billie Jean King, Misty Mae Traynor.
But I also think if you have an Olympian in mind right now that you're like, you have to have that person on the list, I feel like you would have to replace Misty with it. So you're really making a choice as to who represents Long Beach Olympians on the Mount Rushmore.
I have another Olympian as my fourth.
That's fine. Yeah. But I'm saying at this point, that's kind of the decision you'd have to make if Billie Jean King and Tony Gwynn top your list.
Right. So that's where I'm at. And now we come to Teddy Roosevelt.
There is no Teddy Roosevelt when it comes to Long Beach Mount Rushmore.
But we come to,
they all deserve it.
90% of the ballots that we saw had those three people of the suggestions we got. And I think those are three it's very difficult to argue with. I would guess we both have an Olympic legend Wilson grad as our fourth, but I think they might be different because my fourth pick is Pat McCormick.
Interesting.
For those of you who do not know Pat McCormick, a diver, grew up in Belmont Shore diving off of the Naples bridges, went to Wilson, went to LBCC, went to Long Beach State, decided she wanted to do something no one had ever done and be a history-making diver. In 1952 and 1956, she won both diving gold medals in springboard and platform. And to sum up for you how rare those 4 gold medals are, no one ever, as a woman, has ever won both diving gold medals in one Olympics ever, before or since. One man has done it, which was Greg Louganis, but she is still the only person to ever do that. And she was doing dives. She wasn't even as good as she could have been because they didn't let her do her best, like, 7 dives because no one else in the world could do them. So they outlawed them. Men were not doing those dives. They were afraid to do the number of twists and turns that she was doing. She was the Associated Press Athlete of the Year in 1956. I don't know how many Long Beach athletes have achieved that honor. She has solo Sports Illustrated covers, and it's exactly what you said. That was 1956 instead of 2004, but she was a Wheaties box. She was cover of Sports Illustrated. She was as big as it got. And if you want to talk about athletic influence, not only a trailblazer in her sport, her daughter went on to win Olympic medals. They're the only mother-daughter diving tandem to ever win medals. And McCormick Divers, which is a Long Beach club that's got Pat McCormick's name on it, is still producing NCAA champions, Olympic contenders, state champions like Dion Reed at Poly that we got a chance to cover. And so for me, Pat McCormick is my – and she represents Wilson, and she represents LBCC, so you get those schools in there. So she's my fourth.
So you're kind of choosing Pat McCormick over Tony Azevedo.
I think for me, if I'm looking at the fourth spot, I've got Pat McCormick, Tony Azevedo, Martha Watson, Maureen O'Toole. For those of you who don't know those names, there's a great information on Wikipedia, but Martha Watson set a national record in the long jump, her first time trying it at Poly, while still a student, went on to multiple Olympics and medals. Maureen O'Toole, a Wilson grad, who is basically the Tony Azevedo of the women's water polo game, was born too early. The sport was not an Olympic sport yet, but still at the age of 39, played in 2000 with the women's water polo team and helped them to a silver medal. She was 10 years older than anyone else in the Olympics in her sport and still played. She was the best women's water polo player in the world for actually probably even a longer run than Tony, for probably something like 15 years.
If we had a crazy story Mount Rushmore, she might be number one.
Maureen O'Toole, for sure. But I think she's like we talk about with Pat McCormick, where, see, to me, I flipped around the argument about the longevity. To me, Pat McCormick is someone who 60 years later is still considered the best female diver in the history of the world. And that is something that to see that, because Billie Jean King was the best female tennis player of all time, and she's been surpassed by Serena Williams. Pat McCormick, no one's ever touched what she did. And I think that's just unbelievable. I mean, we've covered sports a long time. Records don't stand for 60 years, not in the Olympics, not in something where everyone's trying to get to that platform and perform. So I think those four gold medals, the record that stood the test of time for 60 years, and arguably someone who at her peak was as famous or more famous than anyone on our list right now, I got to go with Pat McCormick for the fourth spot.
It's impossible to argue against these lists if you put together one that has like the top 10 people that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Because what are you going to say? Oh, that doesn't match up to this. It's impossible to make those bar graphs.
Right.
But I go back to athletic influence, and I go back to when I look at these four faces, it needs to represent the thing I'm asking it to represent.
Yep.
So this is the Long Beach Mount Rushmore. I have to have a football player on there.
Ooh.
Just have to. It's just what I think of when I think about Long Beach football.
I think we both thought we were going to have Tony Azevedo in the fourth spot, and we threw each other a curveball.
The GOAT of USA water polo can definitely be on the list. I think that a lot of people might be saying that Tony should replace Misty. That's going to be an interesting conversation as well, because, I mean, four CIF titles at Wilson and then a five-time Olympian?
You couldn't
He's doing
have,
the thing, but then also did it for a high school.
I think the thing you'd say about Misty or Tony or Pat McCormick is you literally couldn't have had a better career than they had. Like, yeah. The only thing that would have been better for Tony is if he'd won a gold medal.
If they won that gold, yeah.
But the silver is unbelievably historic as well. That's a sport that just doesn't really happen in. They only have two medals ever in the history, in the 118-year history of the Olympic water polo competition.
So I got to have a football player on there, Mike.
Okay.
I'm going Willie McGinest.
I respect that decision.
Long Beach Poly legend. He was all everything in football. People also forget, much like Tony Gwynn, he was also all state in basketball. He was born in Long Beach.
People were afraid of Willie McGinest on the basketball court.
As they should be. Fourth pick overall in the 1994 draft. And I believe that's the highest for any NFL pick.
It's the highest coming out of Long Beach, yeah.
15 seasons in the NFL, Mike. 15. What we know now about what the NFL does to your body. 15 seasons as an elite NFL linebacker. Three-time Super Bowl champion. Two-time Pro Bowler. That's superhuman.
And if you stand next to Willie, which we've had the opportunity to at a number of games and everything, Willie looks like he could still play too.
Oh, absolutely. He also holds the NFL record for most career postseason sacks and most sacks in a playoff game. which is like a, when you're talking about a legend, they always have these records where you're like, what? Why,
right.
Why do you have
well,
that
like
record?
We could spend a half hour talking about Tony Gwynn's lack of strikeout.
Yeah.
Like comparisons.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, they're just absolutely crazy.
But we're also talking about influence, as I keep saying. Willie McGinnis, Long Beach Browns, they are the heartbeat of Long Beach football.
The Browns, now the Long Beach Patriots.
When
yep.
the Browns and the Patriots are healthy, Long Beach football is healthy. When those kids are going to Long Beach schools, that's when it happens. And I'll tell you what, if Willie McGinnis comes into Pauly as the director and makes it happen, what we all think could happen, a new golden age for Pauly football, he will really solidify his spot on this list. And I'm also comfortable in putting somebody on the list who in 2005 had the Long Beach City Council declare May 3rd as Willie McGinnis Day.
That's actually something we didn't talk about, but I believe all four of the picks on both of our Mount Rushmores had a day named in their honor in the city of Long Beach, which should, maybe that's like a prerequisite. Like, hey, if the city didn't stop and just cheer you on for a day.
It just makes the argument stronger, Mike.
The other thing I'd say about Willie, I mean, you mentioned influence, but that's someone who has credibility in a number of different levels in the city of Long Beach, obviously. But, you know, Magic Johnson, a lot of other black local business owners get talked about for the job they do in their communities to give back. Willie, I believe, is still the owner of either all or most of the wing stops in Long Beach, and has done exactly what you'd want to see a local business owner done, gone into the community and given people jobs that didn't necessarily have a chance to get them otherwise.
I mean, his foundation's doing great work.
Yeah, he's absolutely incredible. I certainly can't argue with that. I also wanted
to mention.
Yeah, go ahead.
Went to USC.
Yes.
There's that Pauly USC pipeline.
Right.
That's Willie.
Absolutely.
Without Willie, there's other guys who have done it, but he was the one who really paved that road.
He was the one who fully brought it back. The crazy thing is, are you aware that the person who opened that road in the 50s when Dave Levy was coaching at Pauly, and it was D. Andrews and all those guys there, was Al Davis, who went on to own the Raiders. He was an assistant coach at USC.
Yes, that Al Davis.
His philosophy was
go voidical.
Speed. Yeah, it was the way his philosophy remained his whole life. And he actually, because all the Pauly kids like D. Andrews, Willie Martin, Willie Brown, all those guys ran track, he came to Long Beach and he said, these guys are the fastest. I want them at USC. He opened that pipeline up in the 50s. And then if you're wondering why guys like Derek Jones or other Pauly speedsters who didn't necessarily get shots with other teams always got a shot with the Raiders. That's why. And Al Davis would talk to writers in Oakland about, that's the fastest school in America, and I always want a kid from Long Beach Pauly. So you might love Long Beach football and not know that story, but that's a stone cold fact. That's how Dave Levy went from Pauly to coaching at USC in 1960, and then went on to a 50-year coaching career in the NFL, ending a few years ago with the Lions. Dave Levy's still around. Got a chance to catch up with him at the Century Club banquet a couple months ago.
I am not shocked that my list has three Jackrabbits on it. I'm not shocked.
Are you shocked that your list has more Jackrabbits than mine?
That I am shocked, yes. I wanted to shout out some of the people who got in on this conversation early. Raymond Oka hit us up on Facebook, and he agrees that Tony Gwynn and Willie McGinnis have to be there for sure.
I think a lot of it – see, my thing on Willie – here's my only thing on Willie McGinnis, just to finish arguing this out, because you're right. Willie was easily the person who got the most nominations on Facebook and Twitter that did not end up on my list. My only thing is this. Willie is the best football player, in my opinion, to come out of Long Beach. And for your point of you got to have a football player on there, I totally agree with that. I don't think that's a wrong decision. But you said it, two-time Pro Bowler. We left a baseball player off this list who's in the Hall of Fame, who is a seven-time All-Star 7 years in a row. We left the best male water polo player off the list. We left the best female rower in history, Joan Van Blum, off the list. The best handballer, David Chapman. So there's all these people in these different sports that were the best ever. Willie, it doesn't look like, at least in the short term, is going to get into the Hall of Fame. So to me, it's hard to put those accomplishments over a Pat McCormick, even though Willie's much more famous and much more well-known right now.
I'd like a caveat on mine. If Willie McGinnis wasn't giving back to the community in Long Beach currently,
you'd feel differently about it.
I'd feel different. Yeah.
That's a totally,
it's not a shut up and dribble list.
That's a totally fair point. So that was a nomination from Oka. Shelton Diggs and a couple other people chimed in, sticking up for Jordan and Ortage Jenkins, who is a multi-sport star at Jordan, who deserves to have his jersey retired over there.
No doubt.
Someone mentioned Joe Lanning. People are already asking us about the coaching one, which we will get to. I think I'm trying to think of other names that we saw multiple times. Ed Ratliff from Long Beach State was one that was brought up by a lot of people, where it's definitely hard to make the argument against Ed Ratliff.
Right, but Tony, at that time, the Olympic team he was on, 1972 Olympic team, was not the quote-unquote dream team that it is now. It wasn't, hey, you're one of the 10 best basketball players in America, come be on our Olympic team. He is in the College Basketball Hall of Fame, but just a six-year career in the NBA.
Right.
I thought that it was longer. I don't know why I thought that, but I thought he was in the
– Well, he's such a name. Longer. And we saw people bring up Tyus Edney where it's the same thing. I just think the professional credentials aren't there.
You know what? Who else doesn't have professional credentials but is just a legend in her sport? Lisa Fernandez.
Absolutely. I mean, Lisa Fernandez, I think I count Lisa Fernandez as more of a Lakewood person.
Cindy Lubert Padilla with that one. Shout out on Facebook.
That was a good one. If I say, I'll say this too. If Lisa Fernandez to me was like born and raised in Belmont Shore and went to Wilson, I don't know that I could have left her off the list. But as a Lakewood kid who is at St. Joseph, I think to me this isn't the list for her.
College friend of mine, Justin Nielsen, hit us up on Facebook as well. And his list is so the years we went to school at Long Beach State. His is Misty May, Jared Weaver.
Yeah,
Terrell Davis and Bob Maxson.
I love Maxson on there. And you by saying athletes, you took some great coaches and administrators off for sure. Yeah. But I think Weave is one we saw a lot. Where I mean, great point. I mean, you know what I mean? Like Jared Weaver, absolutely. And I can't think of any other town where Jared Weaver is not a surefire slam dunk selection.
Boy, if only the Angels played their games in Long Beach. That would really be
We saw a lot of Chase Utley's, and I would just say about Utley, sort of what I said about Willie McGinnis. I mean, I think Chase Utley's unbelievable, but we already left a Major League Baseball Hall of Famer in Bob Lemon. Also, other amazing baseball players like Bob Bailey, Burroughs, Bobby Gritch, who should be in the Hall of Fame.
Gary Ginn, his was Bobby Gritch, and simply just Bobby Gritch.
That's totally fair. I mean, there are a lot of people. And here's the other thing. The connection that you and I have to a Juju Smith-Schuster who could end up overtaking a Willie McGinnis.
I think that's another great
in
list.
In 10 years is the future.
Yeah, the four who are most likely to one day end up on this
Well,
list.
Look at an Ariana Washington who ties a state record for most really state championships call. With eight state championships at the state track meet. She's already an Olympian and a world champion on the national team, and she's a college junior. She's a three-time NCAA champion. That's the level of people where you're like, well, let's see how it plays out.
Yeah.
You know, in most cities, and trust me, like JJ and I have both traveled a lot. If you go to Mammoth, for example, a really nice sports history in Mammoth, but when they had the Olympics was happening, they had a couple people who don't really even live in Mammoth. They just train there sometimes. Those people are on the cover of their newspapers every day, right? In Long Beach, we are just surrounded by, you literally could bump into an Olympian every time you walk out the door. And we have so many USA Water Polo Hall of Fame members. There literally has not been, since 1900, a single USA men's water polo team that did not have a graduate of Poly or Wilson.
We've got some history, folks.
It's unreal. There's just no other city in the world like it or in America. A couple other people, Lashinda Demas, an unbelievable track athlete out of Wilson. It is tough not to have a track athlete on there.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a big argument for Martha Watson for me, is that the city has such a history in track for sure.
Well, everybody on my list ran, so.
I guess that's fair.
Not, you can't say that about your list.
I'm trying to, Joe Hall, another Northtown legend. Chris Lewis and Herschel Dennis, two unbelievable. Now, I'll say this, having seen Chris Lewis and Herschel Dennis, I can't say that I've seen better football players than those guys, but they didn't have, again, the professional credentials to put them up there with a Willie McGinnis on a list like this.
Yeah, I think we need the people. I think we need to give this to the people. To you.
Well, you're going to win. You're going to win because everyone knows who Willie McGinnis is.
Is that not part of the thing? Is that not?
I don't think it's, I mean, no, we're not
trying to be cunning here, right? As Jeremy Goodwin once said.
No, but I think I'd take the athletic accomplishments of Pat McCormick over the athletic accomplishments of Willie McGinnis. Now, that doesn't mean that more people, because he's active in the community right now, don't know who, or they saw him on TV more recently. Obviously, more people know Willie McGinnis, and I don't think that's a mark against him. I'm certainly not saying that. So you'll win the vote. I challenge anyone out there, if you know who Pat McCormick is, help me out, please.
I think there's a good amount of people in Long Beach who know Pat McCormick is.
For sure. I don't think many of them are trolling
Twitter.
I don't know if they subscribe to podcasts, but
we need you guys. We're going to put up polls on Facebook, on our Twitter accounts. I think we should put up more than four names so that everybody can kind of choose what their four would be. So let us know what you think. I mean, you can also comment on the stories that we already put up on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. What is your Mount Rushmore? Now, like we said earlier, we're going to keep doing these, and I think the next one, logically, would be coaches.
That's the one I'm most excited to talk about right now, for sure.
It's deep, Mike.
Coaches is actually, to me, maybe harder than athletes because it's actually harder to grade. It's harder to sort of create a hierarchy of their accomplishments.
How many years do you have to coach in Long Beach to qualify?
Well, but I just think, like, how do you compare high school state championships with NCAA championships?
You keep asking questions, you know, until we go blue in the face.
I think that's going to be a really hard one. I'm excited to talk about that one next week for sure.
And then, like I said, we will get into the sports and the schools. And let us know, do you think we should do sports first? So Long Beach, the four that we're doing right now, the coaches one. And then do we go football and basketball and baseball, or do we go Pauley and Wilson and Long Beach State?
Right.
I don't know.
I'm excited. All of those are such hard conversations. Yeah. And we're going to talk about some great Long Beach sports history, hopefully in a way that's entertaining for people who might not otherwise care about sports from the 1950s. But there's just so much interesting stuff out there. We always love learning about it. And hit us up if you feel we really missed someone in the conversation today. I know that we missed Hall of Famers in multiple different Olympic sports. Please feel free to hit us up. Say it's crazy that you left this person out, and we'll keep the conversation going.
Long Beach, California, always better than Black Hills, South Dakota.
City of champions.
Before we get out of here, wanted to remind you that, well, if you thought this was the only podcast about Long Beach sports, that you would be sorely mistaken. Not only do we do What Up Long Beach each and every week here at the 562.org, we also do the LB Fee Show each week with Long Beach State Athletics Director, or Director of Athletics.
Pick your poison.
It's the second one's harder to say. Each week we sit down with Andy Fee and we just talk Long Beach State sports. And it's his show. We host it. He's on it. We bring special guests on and we broke some news, kind of on purpose, kind of by accident, on Monday with Andy Fee concerning head coach Dan Munson and the future of the Long Beach State men's basketball program.
Go check that story out at the 562.org. Subscribe to the LB Fee Show wherever you get your podcast. Rate that one 5 stars too while you're at it. While you're on a rating spree and you're rating this one 5 stars, rate that one 5 stars too.
You can listen to it while you're watching the Final Four this weekend. It's perfect.
You don't need to listen to Chris Webber or whoever is going to be.
Dude, Chris Webber is awful.
I like Chris Webber better than Reggie Miller.
Really?
Yes. Reggie Miller is my least favorite color commentator.
Reggie Miller actually breaks down defenses. Chris Webber will just shout out when he notices something. Oh, they're switching. It's like, yeah, man, we all saw that. You got to go a step further. And if he says, I love seeing these kids play hard,
yeah,
one more damn time.
I can't disagree with you. Please do subscribe to this podcast, What Up Long Beach, as well as the LB Fee Show. Check out the 562.org. You'll find both of those shows as well as everything else we are doing.
And somebody start a petition that we can get Gus Johnson back on the March Madness. We need it in our lives.
All right, let's get out of here. We got baseball games, softball games to get to.
We got to do our job, Mike. The job we love so much, bringing you Long Beach sports coverage at the562.org. For Mike, for JJ.
For Big Willie.
For everybody else involved in making this podcast and making sure that you guys, Long Beach, have the sports coverage you deserve. Thank you. We'll see you guys in the stands this weekend. Take care.